Welcome to the Church at South Edmonton's podcast. We hope you're encouraged and inspired to seek Christ through the message today.
Do you know one day when you get to heaven, we're going to be worshiping forever? And I've heard some people say it's just like a bit of a rehearsal here on earth. But I'm telling you, it's more than a rehearsal. Something comes alive in you when you worship. When you say, to worship you, I live. It's the bedrock of my life. It's my purpose for living. If I stop worshiping you, what's the purpose in me having another breath? I might as well just go to heaven right now. I know you've got stuff for me to do here on earth, but it all starts from my heart pointed towards God in worship. God, we love you. Come on, just dedicate that again to him this morning. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you. Come on, just make that commitment from your own heart, from your own mouth, your own words. I live to worship you. And I love to worship you. It's not a duty. It's not a bother. I love. Yeah, to worship you. I live to worship you. Oh, my breath. Let everything that has breath. I live to worship you. I live. Let every heart in this room, Lord, be pointed to you. Sing, I worship you. I worship you. You're so awesome. You're so mighty. You're so wonderful. You're so great. You're so faithful, Lord. You're so holy. You are my great shepherd. You are the king of my heart. You're the king of heaven. You're the king of earth. You're the king of the universe. You're the king of my world. Lord, I live to worship you. There is none beside you in heaven and on earth to worship you. I live. I live. Yeah. My heart, my soul, I give to you. Oh, 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 oh. Father, we love you. And I know that every time that we respond to you in worship, that you respond back to us again. And so, God, we open our hearts to you this morning. Say, God, come and meet us in a brand new way. Show us something brand new about yourself today. Lord, I'm thankful for your word that's living and active. It's not just something that we study as historical. It's something that's transforming us right now. So, Lord, as we look to your word this morning, I'm asking that you would transform our hearts, our minds. Keep building us the way you've always designed us. And I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Why don't you turn and find somebody that you can say you're looking really good in the dark today? And you can take your seats. It's so good to be together here on Sunday morning. Welcome to the church at South Edmonton. It is Sunday morning of a long weekend. Come on, somebody. You made it on a long weekend. That's a good thing. My name is Johnny Strutt. I'm the pastor, the lead pastor at Motion Church in Kamloops. And I'm so glad to be here with you. By the way, if you're watching online, would you just type something in the chat where you're watching from? And that'll help our crew to know exactly who's connecting, and it'll help us to connect with you a little bit better. Anyways, back to Who I am, I'm Johnny Strutt, the lead pastor at Motion Church in Kamloops, and I have been connected to many of you and your council and church for years, actually over a decade, and our churches have been connected as long as that and even longer. And so, somebody said, "Are you the guest this morning?" And really what I want to answer is I'm not a guest anymore. I'm family. I'm a part of your family and you're a part of my family. So the relationship actually has continued to grow because last year we launched Motion College, a full-time ministry school in Kamloops, and some of your students came. And so, yeah, come on, give it up for all of the Motion College students. And so unfortunately, my wife, Briar, could not be here today. We co-pastor at Motion Church, and so somebody had to stay home and make sure things are happening on the home front, and so she's there right now doing that. And how many understand, sometimes on a long weekend, you need a few extra hands on deck? Anybody understand this? Anybody familiar with church world, you know how it is. Sometimes a mysterious headache shows up on the long weekend on a Sunday morning, and you need somebody to cover that base. Well, we just prepare for that at home too, just like you do here. So anyway, she's at home helping to make sure everything is going great. But I'm delighted that my son Jesse was able to be here this weekend. And come on, give it up for my boy Jesse. Jesse's our middle child, and Jesse did Motion College last year for the first year, and he's going back for second year too. And actually, his girlfriend Marin is right here on the second row from Edmonton, from your church, and so we're so glad that you guys are able to be here. And Jesse is going to help me preach this morning, seeing it's Family Sunday. I thought, what a better way to emphasize and model Family Sunday than actually having my own family here preaching with me. And so it's not his first time preaching, but it's our first time tag teaming preaching together. So if we get stuck, you'll have some grace for us, right? Is that all right? Okay.
Awesome. Well, before we get started, I just want to say I'm going into my second year of Motion College. It's been so awesome so far. Yeah. And if you or someone you know is looking to put a year in to just build a foundation that will benefit the rest of their life, or if you or someone you know is looking to get into ministry, like they feel called to ministry, I would love to talk to you about Motion College after the service. Feel free to come up to me. I will answer any questions you have. So now let's get into this. First things first, guys. The Bible is our source of truth and wisdom. And when it comes to family, the Bible has a lot to say. And so one of my favorites is how God says he's a three-generation God. In red letters, that's Jesus' own words, Matthew 22:32 says, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." So God's plan has always been for us to be in a family.
Now, how many understand that we actually have two families, that God has gifted us with two families? There's your DNA, your marriage family, you know, the ones that you were born with sharing the same bloodlines, and then the ones that you married into the bloodline. Some of them call them in-laws, some of them call them outlaws, but either way, they're a part of your family, and it is family. But then there's also the second family, and the second family is a spiritual family. It's a family of God. And the reason why this is family, if you think about it for a moment, God is your father, and God is my father. So if we have the same father, what does that make us? We're siblings. I'm your brother. You're my brother. You're my sister. You know, so there. We actually went through a season in the church where we used to sing songs like that. "You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand." Anybody remember some of the old songs? Okay, anyways. I'm getting old. You know when I pull out those songs and nobody else remembers it, that reminds me I'm getting old. But we have two families. We have our spiritual family and we have our natural family. And God has a plan for both of those families to make you successful. And God's scripture is filled with wisdom and models and coaching and advice for you to be successful so that you can build your home family, your DNA family, and the spiritual family, God's church, on his principles, because he wants you to be successful. And so the very best foundation to build that on is going to be God's word. And how many understand that we can all use a little health checkup every once in a while to say, how's my family doing? How's my church family doing? Can I get a good amen this morning?
Amen.
We're all going to use a good checkup this morning. So that's where we're going this morning. And Jesse, I'm going to ask you to read that scripture for us.
Yeah, for sure. Matthew 7:24, it says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and does not obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash."
Now, how many kids ever sang the song, "The rains came down and the floods came up"? Any kids ever sing that one? Okay, there's a few here. Okay, so I'm going to do something for you. And Jesse, I'm going to need you to help me. You'll hold the mic.
You got it.
So I'm going to just use this as an illustration to you. I'm going to represent your life, and your family is going to be represented by this house. God does this for every single one of us. He gives us, I got the house sideways. Let me straighten it up. God gifts us. It's his gift to every one of us. This life that we have and all of the blessings that come with it, all of the joys. But can I tell you that every single life encounters storms at some point in time? It's just a part of life. So God gives us, everyone, this gift of life. We have it. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why they call it the
present.
There you go. So it's a pretty good looking house, and it's a pretty good looking life when the weather is nice. But when the storms come, and when temptation comes, then you discover if the house was actually built on a good foundation or not. And that's what Jesus was talking about. He's saying storms are going to come. And so let's say, kids, listen to me. Kids, temptation comes and you make a bad choice and something starts to fall apart. Let's say we lose the chimney. It's done. It's gone. Okay? And then what happens? Your mom asks you about it, and instead of telling her the truth, now you lie about it. And something else happens, and it ruins another piece of the foundation. Now things are starting to fall apart. Then what happens is the devil comes along, and he starts whispering these lies into your ears, telling you, well, you're not worth anything. Nobody's going to love you because you lied to your mom, and you did that. You stole that. You said that, whatever it was. And he kind of comes along and just kind of tears out all the opportunity for the light to come into your heart, takes the windows out, and now things are starting to get pretty dark, and you're left without a foundation. Things are falling apart. Things are collapsing. But I've got good news for you. See, if you take even just a little bit that's left of what God gave you, and you give it to him, say, God, I need your help. You can take it. You can pray to him. Ask him for his forgiveness, and I want to show you what God will do. He will come, and he will give you a brand new life. I want to show you in the scripture what Jesus said. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a brand new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Listen to me, kids. All you do is you take your life and you give it to Jesus, and he gives you a brand new life. Come on, can somebody give Jesus a little bit of thanks for what he does? You know, I'm so thankful for what God does, because he knows that storms are going to come into our lives. How many understand we just come through, it feels like about 2 years of storms. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? It just feels like it was relentless. And God promises, though, that if you build your life, your family, your church on the solid foundation of Christ, then you'll survive the storms. And he also promises that if you build on the sand, that things are going to collapse. Now, let me ask this question. Why would anybody build on the sand? Jesse, why would anybody build on sand instead of on rock?
Well, I think it would be because it's easier. Like, we live in a pretty anti-Christian culture, right? And if you lay in sand, if you lay down at the beach, the sand is going to become the shape of you, right? It's going to conform to your ways, to what you're like. But if you lay down on a rock, it's not changing for you. You're going to become the shape of that rock.
Come on, it's true. Now, how many families want to build on the rock? Can I get an amen this morning? And guess what? We want to build their spiritual family. We want to build the church on the rock too. That's one of the things when Jesus came to Peter and he said, I'll show you how to build it. You'll build it on the rock. Now, I want to give you, first of all, I want to give you a little bit of personal DNA family, your own home family advice. And we're just going to go through this quickly because I want to get into the church family in a moment. But Ephesians has tons of good advice for families. And if you're looking for a place to start reading in Ephesians chapter 6. It's advice to parents and raising kids and advice for kids on how to make a good family. And this is what it gets to in verse 4. It says, fathers, bring up your children with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Say those two words with me, discipline and instruction. Discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So you're going to build it on the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Jesse, talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, so you want to build your family with God at the center. That's our first thing right here. Do you know this? This is important. Your Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all cheering for your success. Yeah, they're cheering for you. God has provided everything that you need, to have a healthy and strong family. You need to build your family by God's wisdom and God's word. If you let God, he's the one who designed family. He made up the whole concept himself. He made it perfectly. You need to let God, the one who designed family, help you lead your family. And you need to make God's word your number one authority and priority.
So I just want to say this. Do not, listen to me, parents, do not leave it to the school system to instill values in your kids. Okay? Do not. Big mistake. Don't leave it to Netflix to install values in your kids. Don't leave it to Hollywood to install values in your kids. And don't leave it to your kids to decide what values are good and what values are not good. It's your job as a parent to make those decisions and to help them and train them. When Jesse was saying, we got to build it on God's word, it's your job to help them build their life on God's word. You know before they know that if they build it on a solid foundation, then it's going to survive the storms. And you know before they know that if they build it on the sand, that it's going to collapse when the storm comes. So it's your job as a parent to train them, to teach them in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Help them know that God's word is the most important thing in their life. You know, yesterday my wife posted something on social media, and she was just remembering how when these guys were young, we used to tell them, they were going on their way to school, and we would tell them, the most important words that you're going to hear today are these words right here. More important than any teacher that's going to teach you today, more important than any friends that are going to say something to you today, the most important words of your day, we're going to read them right now together out of God's word. Can I tell you the best gift that you can give your kids is to help them and train them to build their life on God's word. It's the only solid truth that never changes. Did you know there's all kinds of truths? Like there's geographical truths and there's historical truths and there's I see some blank stares. Let me explain for a moment. There's a geographical truth that says that in July, it's hot. Well, it is hot in July in Edmonton, but it's not hot in July in New Zealand. It's cold in July. So it's geographically true, but it's not true everywhere. There's historical truths. Like there's a historical truth that came through that mullets were cool. And then they disappeared, and it wasn't true anymore. And guess what? It's come all the way back around, and now they're cool again. How many are thankful for that? I wish I could still hold on to it. But listen, God's word is the only truth that never changes. It never changes. It's always true, every age, everywhere, for every generation, and that's why you got to help your kids build their life. Okay, I'm talking too long. Jesse, take us into the next one here.
Yeah, so our next point here is you need to build your family with prayer. So here's a big one. You need to let your kids hear you pray. It's so important. I remember growing up, my parents before bed, every night they would pray with us. And that is a huge place where I learned to pray myself. Like my prayer life has become what it is because my parents prayed with me growing up. And so if you're going through a crisis or if someone needs something, pray with your kids about it. When someone is struggling, pray with your kids about it. Pray with your kids about anything. One of the best gifts that you can give your whole family is just to pray with them.
Yeah, and I'm just going to add that let them hear your voice praying, okay? Let them hear your... I know it's important to pray for your kids even when they're not around, but let them hear your prayers from your voice. It's actually going to help them learn how to pray themselves. And one more thing, build your family to be worshipers, to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Can you just give it up for our worship team this morning? Come on, what? The hearts for Jesus. Can I tell you that sometimes if you fill your home and your vehicle with worship music, sometimes you're winning battles that you'll never have to fight just by having that worship music go first. I'm telling you, it changes the atmosphere. It will change your attitude. It will remind you of your anointing and of your authority. It'll remind you of your destiny. And it just changes things in that way. And sometimes there's battles that you don't need to fight. Just get into worship and the war will already be won. So teach your kids. Teach your kids how to be worshipers. We just finished 21 days of praise. We do this in the summer at our church. And so for 21 days, I asked everybody in the church, turn off all the other genres of music for 21 days. You know, nothing wrong with a little country music here and there. You know, I always say there's two kinds of music in heaven, country and Western. But just joking. Okay. But we just challenge everybody, turn off the other genres of music for 21 days and fill up every space that you have the power to with worship music. Can I tell you what happens? Things happen. Attitudes change. Atmospheres change. It prepares the room and the space for God to do miracles. Can I raise your kids to be good worshipers? You will prepare them for a great life of success. But I want to shift and start talking about the spiritual family for a moment. And the spiritual family, of course, that we're talking about is the church. And I want to remind you of these words that Peter spoke to Jesus. He said this, "You are the Christ," or the Messiah, "the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded saying, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." Everybody say rock. So he's building his church on a rock, not on the sand, on a rock. And I personally want to build on a foundation that the gates of hell are not able to rattle in. Is there anybody else in the room that would say, yeah, that's for me? Everybody that says that, say amen. So then how do you do that? And this is where we're going to start wrapping up. But I want to tell you that you start by building your life on Jesus Christ personally. You make that decision personally. I'm going to build my life on Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yeah, and when you do that, when you build your life on Christ, Jesus will build you. You all together, you will become the church that hell can't conquer. That's you guys. Not just you alone, though. We're going to go to 1 Peter 2:5 here. It says, "And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple." You're just one stone, each of you. You're just one stone, but we're all living stones built together to be the church. And when I say be the church, I don't just mean coming to church on a Sunday and, you know, enjoying it, coming back next week. I love Sunday services. They're the best. But it's so much more than that. Being the church isn't just going to church. It's building relationship and it's having community. It's living life with other people. All that with Jesus as the king. Jesus as the center, the king of heaven and earth, but also the king of me and the king of you.
Yeah, listen to Romans chapter 12, 4 and 5 says this. "So just as our bodies have many parts..." Right? All the kids, come on, wiggle your fingers for a minute. Many parts. You can count five on each hand. Our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. Right? What's this finger for? It's for poking your brother, right? Okay. Each part has its own special function. So it is with Christ's body, with the church. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. And then let me take you back to Ephesians again. Jesse, read Ephesians 2:19 for us.
Yes, it says, "You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord."
So let me put it this way. Have you ever needed help building something? Now, if I needed help building a warehouse, I know who I'm going to call. I'm going to call Terry and Maxine right over here. Terry is a master builder. Okay, he can build anything. He can build giant structures. So this, but listen to how foolish this would be. If I called Terry and I said, Terry, I need your help building this warehouse, but I don't want you to bring any of your tools, any of your equipment, your machinery. I have a hammer and I have a cordless drill, and that's all we're going to use is what I have in my garage. Well, Terry could come and try to help me, but I have basically crippled his ability to help me by telling him I don't want any of your tools, I don't want any of your people, I don't want any of your experts. And this is what people do to Jesus when it comes to the church. Now, just as foolish as it would be for me to say that to Terry, some people say, well, I'll take Jesus, but I don't want the church. Do you not know that the church is God's tools? It's God's resources. It's God's people. It's God has specialized people, special parts, all doing something unique that you can't do, and they're there to help you. But if you say, I'll take Jesus, but I don't want the church, you miss out on all of those blessings. Come on, how crazy is that? It would be just as crazy for me to say, Terry, I want your help, but just my hammer and my little DeWalt cordless drill. And he'd say, Johnny, you're nuts. We're not going to get anything built. But Jesus will still love you, even if you say that. But listen, we need the church, and the church needs you. Okay? Elbow somebody and say, the church needs you.
But, Dad, it's easy for you to say that. But let's be honest. Sometimes there's people in church who can be unkind. They can be selfish, sometimes even rude. So how do you say that the church is a blessing when we even ourselves have seen parts of it that aren't very pretty?
So how many in the room would say, I've seen parts of the church that aren't pretty? Come on, let's be honest. How many have been through seasons in the church that you say, this is not fun right now? This is challenging. You know, let me just be honest for a moment. We're in our home church, we have a campus on the North Shore and on the South Shore, and our campus pastor resigned. And so his last week was just a couple weeks ago. And I know you guys had a resignation here where a pastor has moved on. God's called him to different things. Can I just be honest and real for a moment? It's not easy. It's tough. And sometimes, you know, there's people that want to stir things up during those seasons. And there's people that are upset and they're hurt. And they'll say things out of their hurt that they don't really mean, but you know, that just comes out anyways. And sometimes it's just tough. There are tough seasons. But can I tell you something? The Apostle Paul knew this. So did Jesus. And this is what he says back in Ephesians here again. Ephesians 4, he says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults. He didn't say, okay, come together, and as long as nobody does anything bad, you stick together. But if somebody does something bad, then you have my permission to just cut ties and move on. He says, no. Make allowance for each other's faults. Guess what? I tell my church this regularly. If I haven't let you down yet, the day is coming, so get ready. That's just the fact of the matter. I'm your pastor. I'm going to let you down at some point in time. We all have faults. We're never perfect. So we make allowance for each other's faults. Do you know one thing I love about the church? There's no room for cancel culture in the church. When you make mistakes, there's forgiveness in the church. We don't operate like the world does. You know, you do something wrong, they're going to dredge up your past and cancel you. That's not the way it is in the church. In the church, we make allowance for each other's faults. We love each other no matter what, because that's what God has done for us. Can I get a good amen this morning? Oh, I don't even know where I'm going. Okay, I'm off script. Sorry, Jesse. Even with all of his challenges, yeah. So our time has gone this morning. But we're going to share in communion in just a moment. I want to leave you with this last promise from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 to 16. And the worship team's going to come. This is what it says. Actually, Jesse, you read this for us. I'm tired of my own voice.
Ephesians 4:15, it says, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love.
Don't you love that? Each part does its own special work. I'm not trying to do your part. You're not trying to do my part. We know what our part is. We know what our purpose is. And we do it. We get it done. That's my job. I'm not complaining that somebody else didn't help me with my job. They're doing their job. I'm doing my job. And as each part does its own special work, look at the results. Healthy, growing, and full of love. That's what God wants for your family, and that's what God wants for his family. Healthy and growing and full of love. Healthy and growing and full of love. You know, when we were raising our kids, I started praying a prayer early. I had seen some pastors' families and pastors' kids kind of go off the rails. And so I made friends with a pastor whose kids were at stages beyond mine. And still friends to this day. I still ask him every time we get together. I had him in to preach a few weeks ago, and I ask him questions again. What are you doing at this stage of parenting? But one of the things I started praying was, God, I want my kids, three things I want for my kids. When they grow up, I want them to love God. I want them to love our family. And I want them to love the church. And can I tell you something? I mean, we have our rocky moments here and there. And, you know, there's always a little bit of storms that come in and through. But I can tell you that Jesse, our oldest Jacob, and Sparrow, they love God. They love our family. And they love the church. And I want to tell you, that's God's plan for your family. And it's God's plan for his family, that we'd be healthy and growing and full of love. And full of love. I'm going to invite you to stand, if you would. We're going to keep growing more and more like Jesus. We're going to do communion in just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 26, tells us a little bit about that act of communion. And I'm going to invite... I believe Vicky is going to come and help and give some direction to the kids in just a moment. But I want to look back at Ephesians 4:16 again. When we do what God asks us to do, when you do your own special work, listen, there's some stuff that only God can do, but there's some stuff that God asks you to do. There's some stuff that God asks you to do for your family. He wants you to lead in your family. He wants to lead your kids, you to lead your kids in your family. And then there's some stuff that God asks you to do in his church. This isn't something like that we just show up when it works out for me and we don't show up when it doesn't work for me. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. Here you are on a long weekend on Sunday morning, right? But I want to tell you something. Like in our church back at home, I often say, you know, there's stuff in church that just needs to be done. Just like stuff in my own house that needs to be done. Like I have a job in our house. I have a few jobs, but one of my jobs is to take the garbage out. So I take the garbage out of the kitchen, put it in the bin at the side of the house. I don't do that because I have a degree as a sanitation engineer. I do that because it just needs to be done. And if I don't do it, the house is going to stink. It's going to smell like garbage. So I do my job. It's not glamorous. It's not glorious. But I tell you what, it keeps the house smelling a lot nicer when I do it. You know, there's some jobs in church, like if you're on the welcome team, the first impressions team, or making coffee in the morning. Come on, you make the church smell good just by getting things ready on Sunday morning. And sometimes you're like, well, this isn't what I went to school for. This isn't what I feel like my number one calling in life is, but it's a role that you play in the family. And it helps. And it helps make everything look better and smell better. And it helps others come in and enjoy the goodness of God because you did your job. Every part does its own special work. And when you do, listen to this, you end up helping the other parts grow. Your part helps them grow. And guess what? The reverse is also true. When they do their special part, they're going to help you grow. That's the magic, if I can use that word in church. That's the beauty of being the family of God. I'm going to invite you to recommit this morning to the family of God, to his church, to say,
good times and bad times. Storms come, storms go. We'll have some sunny days. We may have some cloudy days, but we're getting through this together because we're family. We're family. So I'm going to invite Vicky, are you giving the direction? You guys know what you're doing? Okay, so they're going to be here. They're going to hold the communion for you, and you're just going to come to the front as the worship team plays and collect the communion. All right? So it's in a little cup. So let's go ahead and just start that right now. Just file out of your seat. We practice open communion here at Case Church. That means that you don't have to be a member to take part in communion. You just have to be a part of God's family, a part of His church, and you can receive that. And that little cup has a wafer on the top. You'll peel off a clear cellophane, and then just hold on to it for a minute. We'll do it together. And then you peel off the foil, and that will reveal the juice, the cup of juice underneath. So just as you come, the worship team's playing. You know, I love communion because it's a family thing. Can I tell you, communion is a family thing. You ever wondered why Jesus chose something that was common at every dinner table? The bread and the wine. It was just something that they had every time they got together. And he did that because he wanted it to be done in community, in relationship. That's why we call it communion. So if you peel off that top clear cellophane, you'll get that little wafer. And let's just say a prayer before we receive that together. Father, I thank you for giving your son, Jesus Christ. You said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. So Lord, we receive this in your name. Amen. Go ahead, take that wafer. Then if you peel back the foil there, you'll get to the juice. And Jesus, in the same way he took the cup of wine after supper, it's like subliminally, I'm having a hard time letting go of summer. After supper, he took the cup and he said, do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. How many are thankful he's coming again? Amen. So let's take that cup together. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just say thank you for what you provided. And Lord, even as we take this bread and the cup this morning, Lord, we're just reaffirming our commitment. We're reaffirming our commitment to family, to be healthy and growing and full of love. We're reaffirming our commitment to your church, to your family, that we will be healthy and growing and full of love. And God, we choose to be healthy, to keep growing, and to choose love. And Lord, we also just reaffirm our commitment to you, Jesus. Lord, we're with you, heart and soul. All of it belongs to you. God, we love you. We cherish every gift that you've given us. And we're so thankful in Jesus' name. Listen, this is the results that God wants for your family and for his church. Healthy, growing, and full of love.
Let's say those three things together. Healthy, growing, and full of love. Kids, thank you for having some patience with us as we work through things this morning. And, you know, we love you guys. We're going to close the service with a benediction, and I'm going to invite Vicky to come and do that. And thanks again for being here on Family Sunday on a long weekend. And our greetings also from Motion Church to you. And I'll take your greetings back to Motion Church also.
Thank you so much, Pastor Johnny. A wonderful word about family. And now as we go our separate ways today, I invite you to, before you leave, make sure you draw a picture of yourself on the mural wall at the back of the sanctuary. And I just want to bless you today before we go. Numbers 6, 24 to 26 says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this week's message, click subscribe. And if you'd like to check us out in person, check our website for times and location at thechurchse.com. Have a great week.